Now we have a report on the recent Portland Troublemakers School. In the aftermath of the November election, unions are facing a host of challenges. On April 8, 2017, Labor Notes was in town for the Portland Troublemakers School to help union members and organizers understand and learn to fight back against such challenges as right-to-work legislation, Republican-led healthcare reform, and school privatization. Elizabeth Teal, vice president of the Portland Association of Teachers, participated in the workshop, Labor in the Trump Era, The Big Picture, and discussed the very real threat of privatization to public schools nationally and in Oregon. This segment was produced by the old mole, Denise Morris, with an introduction by Director of Labor Notes, Mark Brenner.
Everywhere we have seen government services being provided over the last 20 years, we've seen this encroachment on the public sector. More and more private corporations are trying to actually come into government work, and why are they doing it? Money, right? In the end of the day, more and more corporations are looking at our federal, state, and local budgets and saying, I want to get a piece of that pie because I can make a healthy chunk of change doing that work. And unfortunately, when you start introducing profiteering into provision of public services, doesn't work out so good. Now we've got a whole new foray in which we're kind of face to face with that risk here in the country. In the Trump era, we're going to talk about the place where it probably is coming first and hardest, which is in our public schools and in public education. We have Elizabeth Teal, Vice President of the Portland Association of Teachers, here to talk to us a little bit about this privatization threat.
Thanks
Elizabeth.
Have you heard of Betsy DeVos?
Mm.
Yeah, good. So one thing I think is great about President Trump is that he's really brought this thing about school choice and privatization to the forefront, because when it was Obama and Arne Duncan pushing school choice, we didn't talk about it as much. But now we get to talk about it, so that's really good. So you've heard of school choice. It sounds really good. Who doesn't want choices? But like Mark said, school choice, which is the very clearly the intention of the Trump administration and Betsy DeVos, is to put school choice in every state, and that means charter schools, vouchers, education, savings accounts, and in tax credits, which I'll tell you guys a little bit about. And it sounds good, because they say it's about giving choices to the most vulnerable students. It's about letting every family decide what's best for their kid, and who's going to say no to that. But what it's really about is dismantling the system that our country fought hard for, to have a free and appropriate public education for every child that is guaranteed, regardless of whether they behave well or act a certain way or have a certain set of beliefs, in their community as close as possible to home. That's very much in danger of going away. Civil rights are very much under attack. And ultimately, it's about opening up the funding that we have set aside. We believe our community wants to give to education of all of our children. It's opening up that funding for profiteers. You guys have probably heard of charter schools. They've been around a long time. Betsy DeVos has worked, worked isn't really the right word. She's a billionaire. She was born into billions and married into more billions, and she's got plenty of money, and she's been using that money to fight for charters to be opened up. In her home state of Michigan, they have a huge charter program. What that means, the amount of money that the state allocates to a student for public education then goes to a private operator. And that private operator does not have the same set of rules as a public school would have. They get to do it their own way. One of the ways that applies to us in this room is that charter schools don't have to reunionize. In a state where teachers are union, charter school teachers are not. So they can pay them less. They have worse working conditions. They like churn, so a lot of charter schools operate on the idea that you work teachers real hard for 2 or 3 years, and then they burn out, and that's okay, because there's other desperate people willing to do anything for a buck. Organizations like Teach for America have made that really a viable model, because they're churning people in with the only expectation to be a teacher for a couple years. vouchers. A lot of people don't like the word voucher, and so that's why we haven't heard it as much in the last 10 years. But vouchers are where the state just gives a family the amount of money that they would have paid for public education and says, do with it what you want. You can go to a religious school, you can just take it and be at a home school, you can enroll in an online charter school. All of those things, it's your money, it's your choice. But what a voucher provides, if you're using that money for a private school, it means tax dollars are going to religious organizations a lot of the time. It means that the private school does not have to accept you. If your child has a special need, the private school is very much allowed to say, I'm sorry, we don't serve that need here. Or if your child does not behave the way the school expects, they have every right to say, I'm sorry, our school doesn't work for you, please go to another school. And the real impact that these programs have on public schools is, number one, a dismantling of the system. So when you have students leave public school, that's less funding for the school, which means the school offers less services, which means families say, why doesn't my school offer everything that it should? And it means a concentration of students with greater needs, because if charter schools and private schools don't have to take them, well, public schools, our mission is to serve every child. We accept and make room for every child. And when we're encouraging families to leave the public schools if they can, it means the families remaining are a greater concentration of need, but with ever diminishing resources. So that's the plan. So it's very much about taking the foundation out of our public school system. And in some states, we're seeing that happen. We might lose public education as we know it. This has already happened in Louisiana. In New Orleans, after Hurricane Katrina, they just took away public schools. They don't have them anymore. I think the last public school in New Orleans closed this year, is that right? And the rest are charter. And families sometimes have to go to one school and another and say, will you take my child? Will you take my child? Until they finally get to a school, kind of going down the tiers, that finally will take their child or not. And so it creates a tiered system where schools get to decide what kind of student they serve. They get to decide what requirements go with that education. And families, although they're told they have a choice, they actually have far fewer choices than they have now. So, what does this have to do with us in Oregon? Isn't everything great here? We would never want a system like that. And actually, the Network for Public Education just recently put out a grading system for all the states. We got a D on their scale. Oregon does have charter schools. Oregon does have online charter schools now. And Oregon has had, in the last 8 or 10 years, a history of taking money from public education and putting it into these privatization vehicles like grants. There was a board called the OEIB that just took money and said, we're going to use this not for public school allocation, but for private projects that groups come to us and want to do. And this is another way that privatization has really been gaining steam here in Oregon. So at the state level, at this point, I don't think Oregon has any of these privatization tax schemes that I've seen in some other states. There are states right now where on the ballot are things like private school tax credits. If you are a wealthy person and want to give $1 million to a private school, you can do that and then get that back as a tax credit. There's a plan, I think, in Ohio where it's called education savings accounts, where families can choose to have the funding for public education not go to the school, but go into a savings account, which they can use for anything. And then that family is no longer funding public education. So the way it works right now, we all pay into public education, whether we have students or not, because we believe that we want a society where everybody has a right to an education. These systems are giving people the option, would you rather pay for somebody's public education through your tax dollars, or would you just rather have a check for $8,000? Some people might choose the check. All around the state, we've got school board races going on. I think, does everyone have school board elections right now? In Portland, we have a school board election in May. We have 3 open seats. In one of the seats, the candidate who's very likely going to win at this point is Julia Brim Edwards, who's a Nike executive and who has been fighting against corporations paying their fair share of taxes. the candidate that PAT had endorsed is no longer campaigning. Trisha Parks, she's still going to be in the ballot. She can still vote for her. But Julia was going to win. In another race, we have Rita Moore, who PAT is endorsing, running against Jamila Munson Singleton, who works for Teach for America. That's her current employment. And this is a big concern to us, because Teach for America has a mission of putting people in public schools for a short amount of time. This has had the impact of de-unionizing districts. In Chicago, unionized teachers got laid off in order to make room for Teach for America, short-term teachers. And Teach for America, their mission is to, they have had a long-standing history of fighting unionization and claiming that teaching experience and teaching education is not what makes a qualified teacher. What makes a qualified teacher is coming through Teach for America with minimal training, staying in a classroom for a couple years, and then moving on to become a decision maker in the field of education or a business leader who claims experience in education. And they support people to run for offices. And so we're seeing that hit Portland. What that's going to mean for us if she wins, I don't know, but this is a strategy that's happening around the nation. Is the people who are pushing for privatization, the corporations, the Broad Foundation, the Walton Family Foundation, are actively trying to get school board candidates who will support a privatization agenda at the local level. And I heard a statistic a few years ago that something like 70% of school board members in the United States had been trained by the Broad Foundation, Eli Broad. They've made it their philanthropic project to train school board members. That's a little bit about privatization and education. I think the bottom line with that is this is a civil rights issue. The choice movement says that they're all about civil rights, giving choices to the students with the most need, but we know that the data is very clear that school choice does not benefit the students with the greatest need. They're the ones who end up without any choices. It has been a way for, and this is true in Portland and across the country, it's a way of families with more resources tend to move out of schools and move into more homogenous populations so that their student is kind of in a bubble of students without the needs that they see in more diverse schools. Privatization in the Trump era.